Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, and green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast with Marla Johns-Esser, the Green Home Coach, and
Tony Pratt with The Sound Room.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Marla. I miss sitting down here and talking to you once a week.
I know. I'm grateful that we get the chance to do this, but I'm also grateful that we could take some time off because we had an awful lot going on.
Oh, yeah. It just made sense.
It did. Yeah. So even though these podcasts live out in the world in perpetuity, they do get recorded on a date, so real life does come into play.
Things happen every day.
And you have been, oh my gosh, doing so much stuff.
Let me tell you, right now, and especially in St. Louis, I don't know what construction's like in the rest of the country, but St. Louis is just phenomenally busy. Now, I'm hoping other companies out there are like us and are just slammed. But we're slammed, and that's good for us. Plus, we just moved to a new facility.
Congratulations.
The Sound Room just opened up its brand new store. We're at 17373 Chesterfield Airport Road. That's the new showroom.
There you go.
By the time we're done with it, it will be the coolest technology showroom around.
For our St. Louis listeners, you're in Chesterfield Valley, out there in the big retail part of Chesterfield Valley, right?
Yes.
For those of you not in St. Louis listening in, you can always look them up online and see all the awesome work they're doing. I know we're trying to figure out a way if we can podcast from the showroom. We haven't figured that out quite yet, but we're working on it.
I think we might be able to. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, we'll get it all figured out. What I absolutely loved, like the very first thing you told me about your new building when you told me that y'all were moving, was that it has a whole bunch of solar panels on the roof.
Oh, yeah. It's got there's about 120 panels up on top of the roof. Actually, I walked in this morning from the field, and there was the person that actually installed the solar on the building. Proactive service. Saw we moved in, saw we opened up. We have three inverters on our system. Okay. Got the third one online. I had noticed the first two, they were calculating how many watts it was producing, but the third one wasn't. Now all three of them are working. And I think at that time it was churning out about 16,000 watts.
So 16,000 watts is enough to do about how much?
That I do not know yet.
Okay.
I haven't studied on what our system is, how big the system is. I just know it's pretty immense.
Yeah, I used to be better at all these conversions, but that's a good amount of power.
I think it's a 16 kilowatts maybe.
System.
I think.
So somebody that knows solar is going to come back and come on a podcast later to help describe all this better than we're doing right now. But here's the cool thing, is that you guys are, by the nature of being in this building, already embracing so much of what we talk about by using renewable energy and doing some things that are a little on the leading edge. So congratulations.
Absolutely. When David Young, our owner, told me he bought this building, the first thing he said to me was, the coolest thing is there's a huge solar array. And let me tell you, when you're an electronics retailer and your hours for operation are mostly during the day, nothing is better than having a gigantic solar array to help with the electricity cost.
Dang. Well, and I haven't been doing anything over the last 3 months, so.
Well, and except moving.
I say moving, getting my special man through his medical treatments. And yeah, there's been a lot going on.
Just a little stressful time.
My residence is moving to Oklahoma. My business address is staying here in St. Louis. So I'm going to counter commute or reverse commute.
Right.
And what has been so interesting about this is as we've been getting into our new home in Oklahoma, learning about what's available. And we actually are in a home that has a HERS rating. And HERS is a home energy rating that's used very commonly for energy efficiency. So we actually are in an energy efficient home with a rating.
That's awesome.
And it's got a HERS 57. So better than we thought. It does not have everything I wanted in my absolute dream home, but it is so totally workable. And it's taught me a lot about the difference in building practices in different regions. And I've really had to kind of revisit a lot of my understanding of building science and how they do things there and how it's different and how do I work with native materials and regional materials.
Right.
And we brought a company in to do a landscape concept for our backyard, and we wanted to do mainly native plants and have a super low maintenance yard because we're empty nesters. We don't want to be spending all of our time in the yard. So that was really cool. I'm getting to explore these new companies and new people and meet them as I am now in my own home adventure with this new house. And I love trying things out before I put them out to our audience and to the people that read about us and stuff. So it's giving me a chance
easier,
to do that. Yeah. And I just recently blogged about this, is that one of the things that was really important to us was to have really good outdoor space because we love being outdoors. And we wanted covered outdoor spaces, and we wanted to make sure that our backyard faced a direction that would be comfortable enough for us to sit out in the evening. So we didn't want any houses that had a west-facing backyard.
Okay.
And it was kind of cool because Scott knows the addresses really well. So he could tell just from the address and the street which side of the street it was on, which way it faced and stuff. So a lot of times we could rule out or in a home to go look at even before we got there.
Just because Scott was like a human GPS.
Yeah. So there you go. So yeah, so we're getting this opportunity to really walk our talk a little bit and starting to have some conversations with people down there. There's not as many people there in what I would call the green headspace as there are here in St. Louis, but there's some really good stuff everywhere. And it's just looking in different places. So it's really encouraging me to be creative about how I look at things and how I talk about it. And the culture is a little different there.
Right. Well, and remember, St. Louis is this little hidden gem when it comes to innovative building. It really is.
And the whole green and sustainability conversation in St. Louis has been really well embraced. And it's been embraced by a lot of people and a lot of companies. Do you know how many companies have been through the St. Louis Green Business Challenge, for instance?
No, how many?
Over 150.
Wow, that's not bad.
And companies of all sizes, really big ones and really small ones and everything in between. That program is in its seventh year now, and I'm actually writing an article that I'm including some information from them. I'm so impressed with how they've taken the opportunity to help people see things from a different perspective and put it into practical use.
Well, you know, St. Louis, our influences are different than maybe in Oklahoma City.
They are.
Whereas we're a lot more northern, have a lot of similarities in our makeup of, you know, with a New York and a Philadelphia and a Boston, things like that. So I think we're a little bit more liberal and open-minded when it comes to a lot of things like that.
On some things.
Yeah. Not politics, but more socially.
And there's different cultures everywhere. But one of the things that I'm learning from this experience is that how you talk about it and how things are important to people really does matter. So you have to listen first, period.
Sure.
Which is just a good human tactic, right? I'm really excited about the opportunity to get to do that. I'm blessed for that. Hang tight a second. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk some more about sustainability.
Jack Bauer fan? Jack is not back, but 24 is, in the form of 24 Legacy. It's time for more 24 Legacy, which means it's time for more 24 fans. Check out the best 24 fans appreciating 24 Legacy now over at 24LegacyFans.com. That's 24LegacyFans.com.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing The Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From The Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Everyone's wanted to start a blog, but who wants to start one all on your own? Take your interest in creating a blog to the next level by getting bit by the Blogger's Bug. Blogger's Bug is a blogging community that allows you to polish your blogging skill set today. Log on today at bloggersbug.com and get bit by the Blogger's Bug. Bloggersbug.com. That's bloggersbug.com.
gabbing today about all kinds of things, aren't we?
Things sustainable.
Yeah, so...
we're going to sustain the conversation.
Sustain the conversation. There you go. Yeah, so we kind of tripped onto this conversation, and this is really heightened by what's been going on in our respective lives about how sustainability impacts our businesses and our buildings and our lives and our choices. And you and I tripped upon some reading that we really wanted to pick up on, I should say. The one you sent me that I loved was, Is Sustainability a Woman's Business?
I saw that and I just thought right away, oh my gosh, I got to send this to Marla.
I know. Well, and of course, because we've really kind of started this show as being a place where women in particular could come to learn in a safe place about things green in their homes and green living and green companies and stuff. And this great focus on women in the industry, which totally we're not going to stop doing. But this blew my mind when I read this article. It's a really short article, too. But here's what got me. Because of that, because women tend to be the buyers of the things for the home, because we tend to be the ones that are embracing a lot of the personal and the living products in our homes and the practices, a lot of sustainable and green products have been branded to appeal
women,
to women. So this article stipulated that if we got more masculine packaging and messaging, would more men participate in buying sustainable and green products? And I was like, whoa, there's a head scratcher.
It's almost like an LED bulb going off in the head.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, okay, because I keep reading all these statistics that women are the prime buyers of green, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, duh. Yeah, if we're being messaged to and targeted, of course it's happening that way. And so how do we apply this in homes in particular?
It's funny because the article did say there are some on both genders that are just going to buy green products and follow more sustainable paths just because they feel it's the right thing to do.
And I would put you and I in that category,
absolutely,
for instance.
Now,
you and me, sorry.
If we look at the home, like you said, it's always typically the female buyer looking at the house, thinking it's a better atmosphere to raise my kids, or it's a better atmosphere for myself and my pets, whatever, more as that protector. It's not, you know, the masculine side of things. Now, maybe if we can brand more to the guy of, hey, the technology of it, the cool factor or whatever.
Or this protector piece. That's
right.
I think that's a big one. And I think a lot of men, at least a lot of men I know, that see themselves in that protector
role. They still are, yes.
Yeah.
Even though those roles can be changing and they're more dynamic and fluid now, there's still that old school guy out there that is, I'm the provider of the family. And that's his mentality.
There was a quote, and I think it was actually in another article that I found, but basically saying, if the guys are the protectors, then trashing the environment is not a manly thing to do. So there's a natural segue there.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. I was like, hmm.
That's a very interesting point.
Yeah. There hasn't been a lot of people appealing to it in that way.
No. And one of the pictures they used in the article to talk about organic foods, they had the bodybuilder.
Yeah.
The big male bodybuilder looking at different products. Well, what a perfect way to make that conversion, because here's somebody who's obviously a bodybuilder. He's concerned about what's going into his body.
Was that the vegan guy?
I think it was.
Yeah.
He's spending so many hours in the gym. Nobody's going to sit there and think.
And no meat-based protein, no animal-based protein.
Right. So it's that conversion from a lot of women view organic as the right way to go because the protector of the family, better for the family. Well, now all of a sudden here you've got the single bodybuilder, but he's concerned about organic because he's worried about what's going in his body.
Yeah.
And what a great show of, hey, it's for everybody.
Well, I'm seeing so many people that you still don't know. They know what they're concerned about this. And I do, I read a lot of the Shelton Group, as you know.
Oftentimes, when is she coming on?
I know. We've got to get Suzanne Shelton on. So I did see her last week at a conference and need to follow back up with her. But one of the articles that they put out this year, and actually a lot of their presentations and a lot of their information that they share publicly is from their research. But they had found in their latest research that half of Americans today say they have started or stopped buying particular brands because of the environmental reputation of the manufacturer. This had stayed the same at about...
Was it 26%?
It was, but it was even 12% further back. What she said was even more fascinating, that really got my attention, was not only did people say they were making these choices, 64% of those people said a brand, a specific...
Oh, they could name a product.
They could name a product that they had made a choice to buy or not to buy.
Oh, wow.
Based on the environmental, and you would also think sustainable, mm-hmm. or sustainability as, you know, a segue from environmental, choices of that manufacturer. So companies, and I think this is part of the reason the St. Louis Green Business Challenge has been so influential in St. Louis, is companies are starting to recognize that what they say and do matters.
Oh, absolutely.
And with the internet today, there's no excuse. It's so easy to find information and to put it out there. And one of the first things I look for, if I'm looking for a new company or a new product, is I look for anything on their sustainability, their environmental responsibility, their human responsibility, corporate, what is it, CSRs, corporate social responsibilities.
Okay.
So that's kind of lumping it all together, right? And how does a company look at all these factors that affect us as their buyers, as their consumers, and as the users of their products? So here again, just because a company isn't necessarily selling a quote-unquote sustainable or green product, how they deal with those factors still is really important to their reputation,
right.
Their and
business,
to us.
As long as their business practices are sustainable, their stewardship of the environment, yeah. their stewardship of society in general, that kind of makes up for, well, their product's not certified and it's not sustainable.
I don't know if it makes up for it, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Well, if what they're selling really has no avenue to be certified as sustainable... Not every product does.
Okay, name one.
give me some time. I will.
I believe if you think of products being manufactured and services being administered in a responsible...
A speaker.
Okay. What materials go into a speaker?
Beats the heck out of me.
So there's a mesh screen, there's metal.
There's more, there's a lot of different things that go into it.
There's wiring. Metal is highly recycled, so that might have recycled materials in it.
Depends on what type.
Right. So you don't know what goes into a speaker. What if your speaker manufacturer told you, not only great sound, but we're manufactured in the United States, for instance, with all the talk right now about jobs in the USA and manufacturing in particular, that could be part of that conversation. They could talk about the materials and the components that go into their speakers. Transparency could be a way of communicating a sustainable corporate social responsibility story. Perhaps they're sustainable because they're not coming from halfway across the world and not imposing transportation costs and fuel costs. I mean, we've talked on so many different episodes about all the different ways to be green and sustainable. And I bet you that there's not too many products that don't fall into at least one of those categories.
I don't know. We should do some research on that.
Okay, so here's a challenge for our listening audience. And we need to be asking you guys more. You know, give us some feedback on the blog, or if you're listening on iTunes, leave a comment there. What do you think companies need to be telling us? Or better yet, let's make this simpler. Do you think companies need to be more transparent in sharing about their products and what goes in them and how they're made?
Very nice. A simple yes or no.
Yes or no. That's it. That way we'll keep it easy. So with that, let's take a quick break while y'all go comment.
Hi, this is Art Maines from Scammercast.com, where we educate, inform, and protect our elders and those who care for them on the Two Guys Talking podcast network.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search! Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
Do
Shield was introduced in 1965 in an edition of Strange Tales featuring Nick Fury. It was billed inside comic books as the greatest action thriller of all time. And it's safe to say that secret acronymed International Intelligence Collection endeavors would never be the same. Another, even greater, episodic series is ready to take the greatest action thriller of all time mantle, and we hope you'll be listening. Don't miss the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, reviewing each and every episode of ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. bullet point by bullet point. Check it all out right now at agentsofshieldpodcast.com. That's agentsofshieldpodcast.com.
Gabbing on the Green Gab. Oh, that's repetitive, isn't it?
Just a little bit. It's okay. It's the first day back.
I know. So this whole idea of transparency and talking more freely about what's in products, what's in services, where things come from, I think is gaining a lot of momentum today. And I think society is starting to look, not just starting, is looking more and more for this kind of information. And I'm guessing a lot of that's pushed probably from the millennials, air quotes here, guys. And thank you, millennials, for getting us more aware of these things. In a lot of the stuff I'm reading, there is definitely a cultural shift happening.
You know what? There's a big paradigm shift coming,
yeah,
I believe.
I believe that. I think we're in the middle of it.
The cool thing about it is, as the millennials and everybody else that is demanding transparency in anything, we have more tools to hold people accountable.
He's holding his phone up,
than ever. Whether it's our phones and Google, our computers, the internet has just opened everybody's eyes. So if you are concerned about anything, a couple keystrokes and you have
you've got it.
The keys to the kingdom right there.
And I find more and more people, as much as we talk about overload and so much information and people—
Oh, absolutely.
People not necessarily wanting to know, there is, on the other side, a lot more people asking the questions as they realize that they can.
Right.
And perhaps it's picking and choosing what things. And it's kind of like eating well or working hard to eat well, but dadgummit, that cookie just looks so good. And, I'm just going to have it even though I know what's in it.
Moderation.
And I know that it's not exactly moderation, a little bit at a time, However, knowing at least, okay, I'm going to eat that cookie, so I got to balance it out somewhere.
Right.
So I think there's growing recognition that we all can do that in a lot more sectors of our life. So that comes back to how do we, as people, as consumers, and I use that word consumers on purpose, how do we go find that information so we make the best choice we can with the information that we can find? The ad they used to run that an educated consumer is your best customer, or something like that.
Well, sometimes it's the most dangerous customer.
That too. Yeah, that's true.
There's no hiding anything.
This is true. Full transparency, right? But seriously, as we have this shift in attitudes, now we have to have habits. We have to build new habits. In a couple of the articles that we've been reading, they've talked a lot about how with a change in societal viewpoints, and there's really been a shift in how society views some things. They brought up the littering,
littering,
and the smoking, and how that has changed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, way back in the day, it used to be totally acceptable to just throw your used can right out the window as you're driving down the highway. Mm-hmm. Nobody would even think of it. Now it's almost like, are you kidding me?
I know. Can you imagine being caught littering?
Here's your ticket for $500.
I know.
Thank you very much. And the other thing used to be smoking.
Yeah.
Smoking in doctor's offices, on airplanes, wherever you went. Now you can hardly find somebody smoking in a public place. That's just the way it is.
Well, and I think so many of us have really gotten to the point where it used to be, okay, you're smoking, you're just impacting you, and now we know better. With full transparency, we understand that the person standing next to the person smoking is getting just as much of the bad and the detriments of it and the disease and all of the complications as the person smoking. And that person not smoking but being in the vicinity never asked for that.
Right, it's not their choice.
Right. So if you're going to, And maybe that's where the habit starts to come from, is by helping people to better understand the impacts of their choices. And those two campaigns, those were actually big, huge marketing campaigns.
Massive.
That helped to change society's views. I remember as a kid driving down the highway and seeing all the yellow triangle signs, Keep America Beautiful. And I don't know if those are even still around. I haven't paid attention.
I don't know. I don't think they are, because they're not needed anymore.
Well, that's true.
Back
Although
then,
you
they were needed.
Fines for littering in a lot of places still.
Oh, yeah, you still have that. But the mindset of the typical person nowadays is, I don't throw anything out of the car while I'm driving. It's very rare you see it. And when you do, that person's usually a very selfish person that just doesn't care about anything.
So society has to get to a point then where we decide that we want to know more, and we can vote with our pocketbook by choosing to buy or not buy products from companies that do give us that information or that don't. I don't know that we always think about that, you know, how much power we have to vote with our dollars. And that societal change, you know, maybe those go hand in hand.
I think more people do realize they can vote with their pocketbook, because I see it, whether it's a sporting event and people are upset, not necessarily, you know, upset with society, but they're upset with an owner. They'll boycott the games, or, you know, if somebody takes a stand they don't like, they'll boycott the games. So,
oh, and with social media, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the reasoning behind it now, I think, becomes more prevalent instead of, oh, you know what, the guy's a jerk, I'm just not going.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was listening to a piece on NPR radio. They were talking about how literally a social media campaign, it was for women's rights in a country in Europe, and they had mobilized, I mean, almost overnight, I think it was like a day, people that did not like where it was going, and with the use of social media, they mobilized really, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to realize how much impact and how much voice can be had right now. Okay, there's another feedback right there. Do you think that companies should share easily information about their products with us as consumers? Let us know what you think on that.
I'm pretty sure there's only going to be one answer on that one.
Well, absolutely.
But I'd like to hear the answer.
Yeah, I would like to hear what people think, because there's so much assumption that, oh, well, you know, people are just going to keep buying what they buy, or they're going to buy what's pretty, or...
Oh,
and
nice.
I hear that about houses so much. Oh, all they care about is the granite countertops and how it looks. No.
And
No.
You know what, though? That's a great point, because I think I told you this story over the summer. I was sitting in a meeting with one of our members of Congress and a bunch of old school builders. And the comment was, nobody wants this stuff. They'd rather have granite countertops. And that stuff being green features, sustainable features in the house. And I just looked up, and I knew it wasn't the place to raise my voice.
Yep.
Just because. And I just had to bite my tongue and just grin and bear it. But it's like, are you kidding me? Now, I understand your family's been building houses for 100 years, and you've built them the same way. And you just don't understand technology is changing and society is changing. When I told that comment to another builder who was a lot more advanced in his science of his house, he just kind of shook his head and said, yeah, not everybody gets it. And that's okay. There's builders for everybody's economics.
True.
And everybody's social choices.
True. That's just
which
like with cars.
Yeah.
I mean, you can drive a car that gets 4 gallons to the mile, or you can drive a car that gets 50 miles to the gallon.
I can look at Builder A over here or Builder B. If I fit more philosophically with Builder B, I'm going to buy his house.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the cost is.
So here's the wrap up, is sustainability matters. The research is showing that we as the general citizenry have really turned the corner, and we are showing that we care.
Mm-hmm.
So with this attitudinal shift, now we have to figure out how to make that into habits and actions where we can really start to impart more change. So that's our challenge for all of us. How do we keep going with this? How do we make these habits work? How do we make those choices? And that's our goal here, is to give that information so that it's as easy as possible for people to make those decisions.
Right,
those choices.
If choices are easy to make, people will actually make them.
Yes. So right there, folks, that's our role in this, we hope, is to really help you find information that you can take action on that's easy and direct. And We welcome your feedback on this because we kind of opened up some new topics here today.
It's like Pandora's box.
I know,
just opened
I wasn't going to say it. Well, hey, I enjoy it. I mean, this emotional, not emotional, this banter.
The exchange.
The debates. I love it. And we hope that you love it too. And with that, we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast and for joining us on our own personal Green Odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. The links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.